Welcome to the 80th episode of the
Big number.
Big number.
Hey, we're 80 episodes old.
Higher the number gets, the more real it is.
Here on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
I love your reaction to that. Yeah. Oof. I'm sorry.
I just didn't know what you meant by that.
No,
Mark Davis, my co-host, Quizmaster Mark.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Quizmaster Lee here.
We're in the upside down again.
We are. This is another late night episode.
It's a late night.
You might be listening to this on Monday morning.
You got note soda cracked open there.
Note soda?
Oat soda.
Oat soda. Oh, okay. Soda. Yeah. I was like, is it a burp, burp, burp? Note soda.
So the listener knows you're wearing a beanie.
I'm wearing a beanie.
You got a note soda. You got an MTV.
An oat soda.
You keep saying note soda. I'm saying oat soda. You got an oat soda.
There it is.
An oat soda.
That's a beer.
It's a beer.
Yeah.
And
two guests.
Oh my goodness.
Two fantastic guests.
Two lovely guests. Two close friends.
Yes. We've known them for a while.
Uh-huh.
They're two people.
They are. They're two individuals. I'm trying to
build this up even more. Who should we introduce first?
Well, we
have two guests today.
Let's introduce the person that we meant to have on first.
Oh, okay.
Luke Flannery.
Here he is.
I exist.
He's here on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
He's here, or are you here on business?
A little bit of only vacation.
Okay, good. He is one quarter of the band Let's Go Exploring that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
So we are taking advantage of that and doing a reunion show on Sunday.
Which will have already happened if you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, it's already too late.
But Luke is here for you now.
But Luke is here for me now, and he is also a Patreon person, and mm-hmm. so we wanted to snag him up and take him and eat him up. It's like vor.
And there's some trivia history. This is the Luke, as mentioned on this podcast, that kind of kicked off your trivia career, Mark.
Yes, absolutely, from Cool Hand Luke's.
Cool Hand Luke's was his establishment.
Absolutely.
With Mikey Christmas,
yes,
our other Patreon supporter. Yeah.
So if it wasn't for him, I may have never gotten into the game.
Yeah.
Pit Boss Luke.
Thanks for that.
Pit Boss Luke. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. As you may have heard in the rap.
He's moved on from vegan ice cream to meats.
Yeah, non-vegan meats.
Yeah, non-vegan meats.
Though he has done the pulled jackfruit. I've mm-hmm. seen it.
And the seitan.
I'll say the seitan. The first time I had pulled jackfruit, Luke, was from you, and I have not enjoyed it since. I loved it when you made it.
Aww.
But it has never lived up to that initial promise, basically. So cheers to you on that. A note soda.
The listener might have to get used to Lee cheersing everyone and everything. He's on a cheers.
We're cheersing tonight. We've got the note sodas.
Problem is you just keep dropping it. You don't even drink after that. Yeah, you just put it down.
Yep. He cheers it and then sets it down. Now, we also just got that with band practice.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Christmas mm-hmm. took off immediately, and one of my best friends in the world, and another quarter of the band Let's Go Exploring.
And a very old friend of mine.
And a very old friend of yours.
We go way back.
Going back to North North.
North North High High.
Mr. Andrew Bernard.
Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
And though Andrew may not have a very storied history with playing trivia in the area, I will say that Andrew is one of the smartest people I know, and he is like me in that when he gets into something, he researches the hell out of it. I don't know if I've ever met anybody who knows more about the movie Friday in my life.
Put me on the spot now.
Yeah, he just has he just has a bunch of like information about stuff. He just, you know.
Yeah.
So I think he may be an interesting dark horse here.
Yeah, and before you wanted to invite Andrew on, I was worried a little bit that my questions might be too hard, and now I'm worried that they might be too easy.
Oh.
So now, yeah, we're really building you up. We expect a lot out of you today, buddy.
I expect a lot out of you.
Yeah.
I expect a lot out of myself, guys.
But, yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. I'd ask you how the show went or how you're feeling about it. I guess I'd ask you how you're feeling about it, even though it's already happened, quote unquote.
Yeah, practice was good. We got in trouble for being too loud, which I think is a good sign.
Nice.
We haven't played these songs in.
Who did you get in trouble by?
The across the street neighbors.
Oh, okay.
Not in trouble. They were actually very, very kind about it and just said that it was very loud. But
I see.
So they got a text message.
I got it via text message.
A scolding text.
Well, yeah. That's a little bit better, you know, than
would
some.
You like me to read the message? You can tell me whether or not it... Hey, Duder, not to be an old lady, but I can hear your music in my living room just super loud. Can you turn it down a notch? Greatly appreciated, with a smiley face. Mm-hmm. I said, you bet, and she said, thanks, babe.
And then you just winked. So is there a winky emoji?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just winked at you.
I didn't know if that was part of it.
Like, you know, babe.
Mm-hmm. You but know. You added the wink.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Like, she was probably winking, but she just didn't send it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
yeah,
I mean, I don't maybe, know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that message is polite. And
yeah, I thought it was fine.
You know,
that's what I said.
At least the police didn't show up, basically. You know, that's always,
yeah.
Rough.
Yeah, no, the, but, you know, I was telling them, I think, for not having played these songs in 5 years or so, I think they came out pretty all right. Hopefully we don't flub it too bad on Sunday.
Great. How do you guys feel about it? Do you agree?
I feel like we didn't miss a beat. Feels great.
Luke looks worried. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, Andrew and I have been playing music, and Mike have been, we've all been playing music this whole time, nonstop.
Right.
Luke, when's the last time you touched a bass?
Probably not since leaving, honestly. Yeah.
So
years.
For him, yeah. It's a little bit of a scarier, like, oh, mm-hmm. What? So, but he did great. I mean, yeah.
And the band is Let's Go Exploring. So you can, we're going to post links in the show notes to this episode so you can listen to everything. Three albums?
Two albums.
Two albums and a split. Two albums and a split with the random notes of decay. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands.
So check out the show notes for that. And again, gentlemen, thanks for coming on the podcast. Let's go ahead and take a look at our weekly wrap up. I know you've got some scores ready to go this week.
Finally.
Yeah. All right, on Monday, January 6th, we held No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 258 at the Palace. PJ's old crew took the first round, sending off PJ from Nice Guys to his new home in Orlando. We're going to miss him. While the Wonder Siblings took the second round, and Team Leon took the third. Overall, though, it was the Burrowing Owls who won the game with a final score of 91 points. Mm. On Wednesday, Mark, how did your teams do?
They did well. They did Will Smith. We had Iran So Far Away, which was Fletcher, Kristen, Jamie, and Kristen's mom came out.
Going topical with the theme.
Laura,
the
yeah, team name absolutely. This time. They've kind of just gone off on a tangent.
Maybe they were lost their document.
They were doing their TV shows, and then... they just, I don't know, they turned political, they turned Rage Against the Machine. They finished the evening with 40 points. It's funny, they actually won only because another team wagered too many points, and that team would be Elise's team. Elise was there with Manda, her co-host for the Two Girls Scissoring podcast.
Our new Patreon supporters. Indeed. The podcast supports us.
Yes.
So shout out to them.
Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, shout out to them anyway, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they ended up not hooking up.
Whoa. What are you saying, Mark? What are you saying?
They ended up combining forces with Dallas, mm-hmm. who was also there with a friend of his. And had they not wagered the farm on the last question, they would have won. Mm. But they did wager all the points, all the marbles.
It's so tough to see teams go hard on the wrong answer. That happened. I'm going to ask you a question later today that some teams were sure that they had the right answer, but... Oof. They were wrong. They missed an important detail.
Well, the thing is, especially even when you get the points at the end and you know how many points you're winning or losing by, you think to yourself, I look and try and judge how sure other people seem. You know, especially when you have a trivia like yours where people are bringing answer sheets up.
As we saw or heard on the podcast recently, you're very aware of your surroundings.
I try to be.
You're trying to figure out. Yeah.
And so if I see someone write something down and send it up, I'm thinking they seem sure.
Yep.
And I mean, they probably seem sure like they know it.
We've got gumption.
Right. So they're probably like, oh, I know this. Put it down. Wager 20. So then you're thinking, then we need to wager all the marbles, because if we get it right, we need to wager all the marbles, get it right, and hope we can surpass them, because they probably got it right with that kind of, you
tactical.
Know.
Tactical. Yeah. Tactical, folks.
I try.
Well, cool. Sorry to hear that they wagered themselves out of the victory. It's tough go out there.
It is.
On Thursday, January 9th, we held the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 259 and number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, a difficult quiz made for a bit of a toss-up in the leaderboard that evening. No Squeak for you, and As You Wish wrestled over the round prizes, with Team Squeaky Chairs winning the first round and As You Wish getting the second, with the Hornets winning the third. Our overall winners for the evening were Team Blank, who won with a 64-point victory. That was Keith Cute and his dad, Double Teaming, winning the game.
They are monsters, dude. Yeah. They I know they come to your all the time with Alex and Patrick.
Peanut the dog, basically.
Your brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, man, they used to fucking kill.
Yeah. They were out in full force on Thursday, 64 points. Congratulations to them. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, on January 13th, 2020, the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge will be occurring at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral, Florida, with free bottles of wine for our round winners. The Meat Cottage will be on site with their authentic German food offerings. Categories for the quiz that evening will include animal songs, MMA, dogs, Dungeons and Dragons, serial killers, Disney, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about cocktails selected by the Mandalorians. On January 15th,
tales about penises.
Go see what?
Cocktails.
Not spelled that way, Mark. T-A-I-L-S.
Oh, so this like guy. Dicks that have tails.
We're moving on. January 15th, 2020. Go see Mark doing his live stand-up during his trivia at Nice Guys Pizza.
I just got into pizza, and boy, are my arms tired.
That trivia starts at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, January 16th, we'll be at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. The categories for that quiz will include 1980s music, college sports, Guy Fieri, the Olympics, Scream Queens, popular sitcoms, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about Disney movies selected by JVL. And then on January 25th, we'll be back at number 3 for Star Wars trivia. We'll be asking you about the movies, the books, the TV shows, canon Star Wars, Legends, Expanded Universe, the toys, the memes, behind the scenes, and more. Nickel City Red Hots will be there serving up their signature beef on Weck. And there will be plenty of other food options for you as well. Star Wars themed prizes sponsored by Cool Comics and Games. Join us on Saturday, January 25th for Star Wars trivia at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. That starts at 6 p.m. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you?
That was like a Beefheart version.
That's what you get when you get a bunch of band members together.
We've been drinking that note soda.
That note soda.
Note soda.
Yeah. Boop, 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 boop.
Squeed out, da, do, da, da, da. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back in round one, jumping right into our trivia.
Boop, 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 boop.
We da da do da da da. Here we are in round one.
Can I just say something real quick?
No. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding. Of course you can.
I'd be remiss.
That's why we're here.
I'd be remiss if I did not mention the passing of Neil Peart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As a drummer.
As of today, our recording date.
So actually, Saturday. He passed away 3 days ago.
Oh.
He passed away on the 7th.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His family, I guess, just wanted to grieve, you know, have a couple days to grieve in private.
Yeah. Understandable. But,
yeah, man. I mean, I was a huge Rush fan. I am a huge Rush fan. Not as huge as some.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, being a drummer, it's like one of those, the automatic, you know, favorite musicians, favorite drummers, lyricist of Rush, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I did not know that he was the lyricist until, reading his obituary.
Yeah. So, you know, his wife died, of cancer or some kind of disease, I think. And then his daughter died like right afterward. He like left music for a little bit and like drove his motorcycle around and just like wrote a book about it. Went back into music, had a really like crazy fucking life, really heavy life. Yeah. Real fucking bummer, man. Just, it's just, you know, it's hard to explain to people. I know that a lot of people who love rock music or music in general, get it to a degree, but unless you like grew up as a drummer, I don't think you can really understand the fucking heaviness of like a loss like that. You know what I mean? It's like the amount of weight that Buddy Rich dying had with drummers and jazz drummers, that is Neil Peart to rock drummers. You know, what he did for music and what he did for rock. You know, everybody has tried learning, you know, the drum parts to Spirit of Radio and to Subdivisions or whatever else, you know. He's the reason that I do so many different things that I do, like offbeat China hits and like all these different like bell things I do. And even tonight when we were having Let's Go Exploring practice, I was sitting there doing things and I was like, that's fucking aped that from Neil Peart, aped that from this, like all this stuff where it's like all so many different parts, even from something as heavy as Let's Go Exploring, you know, his drumming reached that far. So it's a real, real big loss, real big bummer.
Well, sorry to hear about it.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sure it's something that a lot of people, you know, when I saw it, everyone was talking about it. It's just, you know, it's the kind of thing that even if you're not a musician, everyone was just like bowled over by it. So,
well, on the subject of music, how about I ask you guys a music question?
Hey,
I've got a Mondegreen question for you guys. Are you guys familiar with the topic of the subject of Mondegreen? What that is?
Mondegreen?
Yeah. Mondegreen.
Well, boy, aren't you guys lucky that I'm here?
Yeah.
Because I know what a Mondegreen is. A Mondegreen is a misheard lyric.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The original example, the line was, laid him on the green, and the author who heard this lyric thought that the singer was saying Mondegreen, Lady Mondegreen. Like, it was like some noble title, Lady Mondegreen. So, hence the name Mondegreen for the misheard lyric.
So, like, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Common Mondegreen.
Hey, smiling strange, you're looking happily deranged. Purposefully left a mystery by songwriter Mark Mulcahy. What is the third line to the first verse of Hey Sandy, the theme song of the 90s coming-of-age sitcom Pete and Pete, confirmed in a 2012 Reddit AMA by actor Danny Tamborelli, who played Little Pete Wrigley on the show? It was the third line. Hey, smiling strange, you're looking happily deranged. The next line was purposefully left a mystery for many years until it was confirmed on Reddit.
Luke.
I can hear the theme.
Yeah. I liked Pete and Pete a lot.
I got nothing.
Polaris, right?
Yeah.
Yes, which it actually was another band, but one of the members of the band was not a fan of the deal of working with Nickelodeon, so they dropped out of the project and Polaris was formed as a new entity to work on these songs for Pete and Pete.
Yeah, I can't even think.
Yeah,
I'm. No, I can't think of.
Yeah. Well, Andrew's.
Nope.
Andrew's got zero.
Nothing? No, I think, no Pete and Pete experience?
I think
we built the Andrew up so much.
The closest at all of us, and
I never watched the show that much.
I had it on DVD, and I can't even think of it.
I have, like, seasons one and or two.
So, interestingly about the DVD is there is a line on the closed caption, but that is not apparently the official line. It's wrong on the DVDs.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah.
The line, okay. Well, we'll just say that you guys are wrong for this one. Yes. So, the line on the DVD is, "Can you settle to shoot me?" Which sounds pretty dark.
Jeez.
But apparently the line is actually, "Can you settle a sure bet?" And he says it very quickly. He's like, can you sell sugar? That's kind of the delivery. It's like, la, 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 la. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. I always sang it like, catch a sugar. You know?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now that Mondegreen. Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that show or listened to that fucking song.
I just remember, yeah, being a kid and that line nobody ever knew.
I know that there were Danny Tamborelli's is coming to San Diego because they've got a whole podcast now too.
Oh yeah,
with like all of that cast and stuff like that.
The Pete and Pete cast
and all that.
Mm. Oh, all you literally all that that cast. All that. I thought you meant like
yeah, all cast. Of the cast of Pete.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
Let's keep it going with music trivia, shall okay. we?
Yeah.
The character Gollum mm-hmm. from Lord of the Rings is referenced in what Led Zeppelin song?
Andrew?
Mm-hmm. Andrew's 0-2.
Led Zeppelin. It was Jimmy Page's birthday last week.
Ooh.
I do a birthday quiz for bonus rounds.
James Page.
Mm-hmm. As made famous by the Mindless Self-Indulgence song, I Hate Jimmy Page. Ugh. Maybe not made famous by it, but...
Well, I hate Jimmy Urine, so...
Oh!
James Urine.
Even in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, where he cameoed?
Yeah.
Wow. Even
that.
Wow.
James Page and James Urine. A couple guys hanging out.
Where's so that collab?
I'm thinking of is like Tom Bombadil.
Gollum. Huh? All right, well, let's... is it Stairway to Heaven? Is it... Gollum, what?
A Zeppelin song?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no point of reference, really. I'm not a huge Zeppelin fan. I know a couple of the big hits.
You got me.
Why can't... I can't even think of some of the other... There's that one that's like... What is that song? I keep wanting to say Renegade, but that sticks. It's a totally different song.
Come from the land of the ice and snow.
What if that's the song?
I don't know the name of that song.
You look like Gollum. No,
I'm not a Zeppelin fan.
Lord of the Rings. So what don't you like about Zeppelin?
I don't know. I think it's Robert Plant.
Robert Plant's voice has always been the thing that bothered me most about them. And I can't say that he's bad at what he does, but I can't stand all the orgasm noises.
But I feel like I got to give him another shot, though, because it's been a while since
I'd say the music is worth it. If you can find the songs where he's not going, if you can get past all that stuff, then you're good. Squeeze my lemon till the juice runs down my leg.
Sounds like a Mr. Bungle song.
No, yeah. Well, there's another weird one. And, you know, Guns N' Roses did a lot of that orgasm sounding stuff, too. And I didn't realize it as much as a kid.
Kind of Van Halen as well. There's some in that. David Lee Roth. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. It was of the era. Breathing. It was of the era. You grew your hair long and you... Yeah, made a sound
makeup, and you talked. You made sex noises.
Music.
They wanted people to think that they were in the studio having sex acts performed on them. So yes. I think that's
they
why
probably that is. Were in the studio having sex.
Acts they might have been. There's rumors. Like I know Jim Morrison. That's well.
Rumors.
I don't know
if anybody was having sex acts performed on them during Rumors.
No,
that album doesn't sound sex.
That's not what I was talking about.
I know. I was just joking.
Oh, okay.
So what song do you guys want to say?
What is the name of the song I was just singing? The
name of the song you're singing was Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song. Immigrant Song.
I'll help you out.
Well, it's not that then, because he was so quick to help. Is it Stairway to Heaven? Do we know any other Led Zeppelin songs? help me suss here, guys. Maybe you'll jog my memory if any other songs. Am I all alone here?
You're all alone.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know any Led Zeppelin song names at all.
I know like...
they had an album called Four.
Cashmere, but that was the instrumental song.
All right.
That's good.
P. Diddy.
Isn't there that Black Dog song?
That's another one. There you go.
Thank you, Andrew.
But I don't think that's the song we're talking about.
I don't think it's
here.
Black Dog.
No.
It might not be, but I mean, like, but.
Cashmere.
You know, drumming some stuff up.
I thought that was instrumental.
No, it's not.
Nope.
Oh, see, that's that's how much I know.
And then Diddy comes in, he's like, come with me. He just said, come with me over it. He's talking about coming too. He's not making the orgasm noises, but Diddy's doing it. Did he do it?
Did he do it?
Cashmere is our answer. Cashmere Mark.
That is incorrect. Wrong.
Damn it.
Mine's a tale that can't be told. My freedom I hold dear. How years ago in days of old, when magic filled the air, 'twas in the darkest depths of Mordor, I met a girl so fair, but Gollum and the evil one crept up and slipped away with her. Her.
Are you?
Her. Yeah.
This is in the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins by Leonard Nimoy.
This is in the hit song Ramble On.
Oh.
Ramble On!
That's it.
That one. Those lyrics are from Ramble On?
Absolutely.
God, I've never listened to that song that closely. Like, when you start reading those lyrics, I was like, I gotta listen to this Zeppelin song. This is some deep cut.
Ramble goes, On.
But Gollum! And the evil one crept up and stepped away with her, yeah. I'm going to give you one of those.
Thank you very much
for that performance.
I look like an alligator nuts.
All right. Let's see here.
Okay.
This is and I'm going to ask you the question that my teams went big on.
Okay.
And got it wrong.
Oh, yeah. We're going already.
Yeah. I mean, I could save it, but okay, I just figured
let's
this
go.
Is. This
fuck
is
a, it. Let's okay. do it.
Frasier is the category.
Frasier is the question. What's the question?
Frasier.
Is the category.
Okay.
Yeah. On Frasier. Mark, you're a Frasier fan, right?
I consider myself a Frasier fan, yes. Okay.
Andrew, Luke?
I only watched a couple episodes.
All right.
I'm not necessarily a fan, but I've
you
always
enjoy it? He's also
I've
not a
always
hater.
Really liked the show.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's a great show. On Frasier, what are the call letters of the fictional radio station that broadcast Dr. Crane's show?
Oh.
That's not going to ring any bells. There's too many call letters in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke worked at NPR, like our local NPR affiliate. Is that correct?
Yep.
Here. And now he works at another one in San Diego.
Yep.
Well, let me read it one more time for you. On Frasier, what are the call letters of the fictional radio station that broadcasts Dr. Crane's show?
I feel like as you read it again, there's a hint in there.
Do you want it one more time?
Regionally, it should start with like a W.
Okay. Well, that helps. W. Frasier Crane.
I mean, I feel like we should guess on this.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh man. So there was him. Who is the sports guy? God, what the fuck? There was Roz. Oh, the Mad Dog. Is it Mad Dog? That was a sports guy. And he's the one that ends up knocking up Roz.
Spoiler alert.
God, there was, dude, there's this episode. It was just one of these episodes that you catch like at night. You just got the TV on, you know?
That's the only time I watch Frasier, Mark, is when I'm eating a cheeseburger at 11:30 after trivia. That's exactly and what I'm...
It's all about how fucking Niles... Oh, it's such a heavy episode.
We talked about this.
Yes. I posted it in my live
journal. Yeah, I remember that.
And, like, about how he's, like, so in love with Niles, that Niles was so in love with Daphne that he didn't even notice that, like, she had gained all this weight, and then he put her on such a pedestal that, like... He, like, wasn't aware of all these signs that she was... Oh, God, it was so fucking good.
Wasn't it, like, a two-part episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what were the call letters
of I'm the only fictional thinking of the radio last station? Episode that I watched now, too, which
we,
was, like...
I mean, can we all guess, I guess?
No, we all got to call
it. Yeah, you got to agree on an answer and then submit it.
What do you want? What is it?
Oh, I would just figure it'd start with a W.
W-K...
K-
Okay.
I was going to say WKLM.
Luke, what city do you think Frasier takes place in?
Ooh, WKLM.
See, I was thinking K because it's Seattle, right?
Somewhere in the Northeast, though. No?
No. He's in Seattle.
He's Seattle.
Shoot. Then it'd be a K.
Yeah, so K
I had to help you guys out a little bit there. I was like, wait a second.
Because I was,
for some reason, I was thinking Northeast.
I just trusted you with your radio knowledge because I knew it was Seattle.
I was like, I thought W is around here, and you're wearing a KPBS shirt.
So W is east, K is west, right?
And I thought it was east.
Yeah. Okay. It's in Seattle.
So yeah. It's K. So it's got to be K.
So,
but it's funny because we both said K. So K is the first letter, obviously. I think there's an LM in there, but I...
K...
But then I'm also leaning towards like...
K...
K something BB or something.
K... KBLM? K... Dr. Fraser Crane? This is K... KBLM. K...
Why was... K, man, K-B-L-M. I'm just not thinking of the logo for Fraser and it's...
Can you hear the question one more time?
The needle. Point,
yeah. Sure. Here it is one more time. On Frasier, what are the call letters of the fictional radio station that broadcast Dr. Crane's show?
What's the name of his show?
You're listening to Tossed Salad and Scrambled Eggs.
I was just thinking Scrambled Eggs.
A new cooking show.
KBLM?
That sounds like a real station.
Sounds good to me, actually. KBLM.
I'll go with KBLM.
KBBT?
KBLM?
I'm going to need an answer, guys.
All right, we're going to go with...
KBLM.
We're going to go with KBLM. Wrong.
There is an L in there, but it's on the end. It's KACL 780. KACL.
That's way off.
Now, yeah, that doesn't sound right at all. Are you sure that's right? I'm just kidding. I know.
I had to double check it, especially when so many answers came in with a doubled KEXP, which is the real life.
That's an actual station. Yeah.
Yes, it's the real life Seattle. So
exponential.
They went with their gut, I guess, but again, you got to listen very carefully, folks. Fictional radio stations. Sometimes there are little things in the question, you know.
That's why you repeated it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here is your next question. In the first season of Sesame Street, what color is Oscar the Grouch?
I know this.
Oh.
I actually know this.
So I'm guessing he's not green.
He is not green.
Though he could be green.
It never changed.
Could be a trick.
I have a guess. Purple?
Mm-mm.
I was going to say gray, but...
No, that's a good guess. Maybe black and white or something. Like, why put him in color if it's going to be black and white? I
thought it would be like brown.
Kind of orange, I believe, is the answer. And I feel like I know this just from random trivia writing, just like looking up Sesame Street trivia and stuff like that. Hmm. I'm like 99.9% confident that he was orange.
That is correct.
Don't worry, guys. I got that one. I got it. All right.
He's got you here.
I've got, let's see here. Oh, man.
Elmo got next.
What do we got here?
Elmo next. Does have next. Elmo got next.
What Latin phrase translates to occasion of war and describes an event used to justify going to war? What is the Latin phrase that translates to occasion of war and describes an event used to justify war? So an example of this might be Colin Powell sitting in front of Congress showing a model of an anthrax vial saying Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, which we know now
yellow cake
was a fabrication,
right?
Basically. But that was an example of this. What is the Latin phrase that translates to occasion of war? Obviously, more recently, the events in Iran and Iraq.
Wow. How do you say war in Latin? Fucking... Bing bang.
Bing bang? Bingus bangus. We must go to Bingus bangus.
Occasion of war. This is one of those things, you know, there are just things that are seen as common knowledge.
Yeah.
Where you're like, there have been questions he's asked. I'm like, are you sure I've heard of these things before? What was the one fucking Spirogyra? No, fucking, what was it? The,
in the God of Davida?
No, the...
Was that them?
That was, no.
No?
Spirogyra.
Iron that Butterfly.
Iron Butterfly.
Yeah.
The one that you asked me to spell.
Oh, Chiaroscuro.
He's like,
Chiaroscuro.
Yeah. He's like, blah, blah,
it's what shows the relationship between light and shadow in art.
I was like, everybody what? And he was like, I'm pretty sure you've heard this word before. Chiaroscuro. And I was like,
well, I'm not making that claim about this one, but it is, yeah, no, I mean, no, I know. I feel like this is one, I'm just going to say it. I think Seth would know this. I'm just saying it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's shouting it right now.
Seth is a smart man and knows a lot about war for some reason.
He studies it. I mean, he's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like my brother would know this. Read.
Your brother also is a man who, for whatever reason, loves guns and war. I'm not such a man.
Well, shade being thrown.
No, I mean, it's just some people are into that and I don't understand why, but...
You follow football,
I'm
right? Sure,
yeah, I was going to say. I mean, people are unaware why I'm into stuff that I'm into. That's fine.
When I'm reading Game of Thrones, sometimes I'm thinking, like, I could get this into history if I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Because this stuff is like, oh, that there's stuff like this that really happened and you could get into it. But yep. You're like, no, I'm going to read about a man with dragon.
I feel like trivia has kind of helped with since I've started doing trivia. I'm reading more about real life history.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
What
is the Latin phrase? Occasion war. Of war.
This is, well, e pluribus unum means something.
I've heard it.
Right.
It's on the penny.
Mm-hmm. All for one. I don't know. Don't miscorrection me on that. I don't know what it means. I don't know if that's right.
No, please miscorrection us. Or you can look it up at the break and let us know. I'll do that. We should know that.
Nothing.
I'll give you guys a little bit of a hint. Okay. The opposite would be a case for alliance, which is in Latin, casus fedoris.
Oh, thanks.
That is the opposite. Casus fedoris, or casus fedoris
for alliance.
That is the case for alliance. What is the occasion of war?
Fedoris doesn't even.
That's when you tip your hat.
I'm going to say, it's like
I won't attack you.
Rico Kasich is the case of war.
Casus O'Kasichs.
Casus. Yeah, I can't even
put anything together.
Yeah.
Antebellum. Stupid. Bell. Casus belli.
Never heard of that before in my life. Wrong. No clue.
Casus belli?
Mm-hmm. Or belli. B-E-L-L-I. No.
I think those are just made up words.
You can look it up, Mark.
Yeah, I looked it up and it says it's fake. Here's your third question.
It's not fake, folks.
Here's your third question. In what country is most of the world's coffee produced?
Ooh.
Is this another one Lee knows?
No, I wouldn't say I know that. I'm not nearly as certain as the Oscar the Grouch. I have some suspicions.
I feel like I've read something too recently about this.
Could it be the United States?
No, I don't think so.
No? Hawaii? Kona? Kona beans?
I feel like Hawaii is too small. But
I could guess be. So Colombia would be one.
Colombia.
I think Colombia is too obvious though.
Because I lean towards like Brazil or
what about like Kenya?
Can you believe it?
Anytime Mark chimes in with a answer, I have this like feeling like it can't be that because he wouldn't lead onto it at all.
Well, I also can't resist a good pun.
But maybe he's you know gonna. Try and this is why I don't like paying attention to the meta game.
I don't
Mark
Belize
is all over
you.
That though. Belize?
I don't Belize you.
Kenya, Colombia. Peru?
Honduras.
Just naming like what we see on packages.
That is exactly my sus technique right now.
Yeah.
Ethiopia?
Largest? That's probably their largest export.
Venezuela.
Brazil?
That was my first thought.
This is a big country. Lots of land.
In a big country, dreams stay with you.
For coffee. Bean production. I feel okay about Brazil.
Me too.
Yeah. Should we submit it?
Sure. Brazil.
Yes. Brazil.
Brazil is correct.
Wow.
You see that feeling you're feeling right now? That feeling will fucking last you.
Can you
hours.
Feel it?
Ayo. Hey. Hey now.
All right. So that's round one.
Yes.
We have a Casus Fedoris now. And we're going to take a break.
Wait,
and,
is that the war one or the other one?
No, that's the alliance.
Okay.
The case for alliance.
Yeah, thank Christ.
And we'll be back with some miscorrections and round two.
Ooh.
Were you in a hair metal band?
Oh.
We're going to do some missed corrections. We do a little music here. If you don't know it, just freestyle, I guess. Oh, boy.
I'll freestyle it, too. Let's take that again, yeah. Shall we?
Miscorrection.
Miscorrections. Got a couple here. Stephen Webster says, in episode 74, the question was asked, what three action movies did future state governors of California and Minnesota co-star in?
Ooh, I remember this one.
Yeah, the final movie, Batman and Robin, would be incorrect to me based on the wording of the question. A cameo as a guard does not rise to the level of co-star, which could be misleading. I would use the phrase appeared in just to be safe. This might be a nitpick, but if a team at my local trivia missed the question due to this phrasing, there would definitely be complaints. Steven, to that I say, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say that's a good pickup.
This is more of a rate my question, but you know, putting in here is a no note.
That's fine.
Yeah, the term star, it does indicate a certain level of prominence in the film.
Absolutely.
So I like the suggestion.
For sure.
So thank you for that. We also have a miscorrection here from Rachel Quinn. Well, again, this is a bit of a no note, actually. She supports you, Mark. She says, Spy Kids 2 as an answer is sufficient. And again, I just want to reiterate, I gave you the correct, you know, tone on that one. And I feel like regarding our discussion in the last episode, we really kind of landed in the same spot. It was just that you were in favor of giving an additional point, and I approach it from grading on the curve, kind of reducing the number of possible points and giving the max points to whoever has the most specific answer. If it's something that is like calling for it, you know, I'm not giving any extra points if people are just writing down extra information. But if it's an answer to the question that's the most correct, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends on how far you want to go with it. And like, you know, I think the biggest and the best takeaway from the whole thing was wording. I think that is the biggest, you know, the biggest takeaway from the whole discussion was being careful how you word it and just putting it as succinctly and as specifically as you want. You know, I said that I might give someone an extra point for putting the whole answer, but I feel like for the most part, Spy Kids 2 or Spy Kids 2, the Island of Lost Dreams or whatever.
You got it. That's what it's called.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll never forget it. Would probably garner the same number of points. I'd be pretty impressed if you knew the full name. But again, if you knew that it was Spy Kids 2, and by the way, I saw Dallas on my trivia, he goes, I listened back to that episode. He goes, that Spy Kids 2, that was all you. He was like, that was nobody else. You pulled that out. And I was like, I needed you there. I couldn't have done it without you guys there.
It's too bad I didn't ask what color shirt he was wearing. Oh. Otherwise, you would have been right on that.
Well, and we had a listener, Paige, mm-hmm. Who had happened to have that meme
ready show to go. Up.
Yep. And he's wearing a brown shirt underneath a lab coat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember. All
right, I'll give you an extra point for that right now.
Yes.
All right, and then Elise wanted us to know that the lyric Rita Hayworth gave good face is from Vogue, not Express Yourself, as you suggested. And Gil wanted to clarify, Mark, that Theo is from The Cosby Show, not from The Facts of Life.
Yeah.
So
actually,
now I got it.
He didn't even say, he just said, I have a miscorrection and just played the clip. And I was immediately embarrassed to hear that I said that Theo came from fucking Facts of Life. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Well, extra info on that. The song that I couldn't remember the name of that sampled Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot. That song is actually also called Sundown from the year 2000 by Elwood. Do you guys remember that song?
No.
Mm-hmm. It was like a alt rap. If you remember when like Uncle Cracker first came out and Kid Rock and there was like a bunch of like alt rap, like alternative rock rap, I guess is how you country rap, but not like, I don't know. Not like Old Town Road.
Rack, yeah.
Can we all agree that there was a good time that rap rock was a thing?
There was a good time?
Yeah.
What do you mean by a good time?
Like Rage Against the Machine?
Rage? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll side that. Well, we'll start with Run DMC, Aerosmith.
Okay. I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll go forward to Rage Against the Machine and like the Judgment Night soundtrack is.
Sure.
Are you guys familiar with the Judgment Night soundtrack?
Yeah, it's Body Count, right?
The Judgment Night soundtrack had a alternative or rock band and a rap like a artist, or it was just the whole album was one of each. Did you guys ever were you guys familiar with this?
No.
Sounds kind of familiar.
It was in the 90s, and it was the kind of thing that I feel like, even though it didn't really get the like a lot of a lot of chutzpah or whatever, it deserved a lot more than it got, because it kind of, so it was Helmet and House of Pain, Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul, Living Color and Run DMC, Biohazard and Onyx, who also went on to do a heavy version of Slam, which was Onyx's big song back in the day, Slayer and Ice-T, Faith No More and Booyah Tribe, Sonic Youth and Cypress Hill, Mudhoney and Sir Mix-a-Lot, Dinosaur Jr. and Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Oh, I gotta hear that.
And Fatal.
Dinosaur Jr. and Del?
Yeah, and Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill. So when you hear Dinosaur Jr. and Del the Funky Homo Sapien, I mean, that was Del doing stuff with like a rock thing 20 years before he did anything with Gorillaz.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the original rapper on Gorillaz.
So this was like, you know, forcing these two things together, and it's so good. You know,
I wonder, did Interscope put that out? Or not Interscope. What
Immortal label? Records and Epic Soundtracks.
Immortal. I wonder who owned Immortal.
But yeah, that was in 1993.
Right on. Well, yeah, anyways, Elwood was the guy I was trying to think of. How could I forget Elwood? And also, we have a note here, Mark, from Quiz Daddy Tim. Quiz Daddy Tim says, hey guys, happy new year. Hope all is going well. First, I have a missed correction, kind of. In the group's sus about the Olympic Games, it was said that the Summer and Winter Olympics are competed on alternating even years. While that is the case now, it wasn't always. Since the creation of the Winter Games up
1992.
That's right, Andrew, 1992.
See? This guy.
The Summer and Winter Olympics were held the same year. The decision to split them then saw the Winter Olympics held again in 1994, while the Summer Olympics were then held in 1996. Andrew, do you remember the two cities that hosted the 1992 Winter and Summer Olympics?
Barcelona?
Yes. Barcelona was the Summer Olympics in 92. And the other one...
Is it the one that starts with an L, or is that 94?
It doesn't start with an L, but there's an L in the name.
Montreal.
Mm-mm. No, it's in France.
Mm. Versailles.
Mm.
Perilous.
This one's kind of harder to remember, I think. Albertville.
Albert.
Yeah.
What was 94, though?
94 was... I don't remember off the top of my head. I do remember that the 94 Olympics were the Olympics where Nancy Kerrigan was attacked.
Right.
That was that Winter Olympics. I can't remember where.
Oh, 94 was Lillehammer.
Lillehammer.
Okay.
Lillehammer.
Yeah.
I remember making fun of that name a lot.
Yeah. Anyways, Tim continues, the decision to split them up saw the Winter Olympics held again in 1984 while the Summer Olympics were held in 96. That's interesting. The switch happened in our lifetime. I was almost 7 years old that year. That is my note, actually. I was reading that like it was from the email. I wrote my answer down here. anyways, Tim continues. Second, I have a question you might be interested in. And no, Mark, the answer is not Namibia. You know, let's get to this a little later in our Rate My Question.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds we'll come back to Quiz Daddy Tim's Rate My Question there. Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry. Let's just take care of this right now. He might not remember that we've actually asked this on the podcast before.
Oh.
So we'll do a little refresher here. Maybe Luke and Andrew can play. According to Billboard.com, Kenny G became the fourth solo artist to have a top 40 hit on the Billboard charts in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 10s. Kenny G. He joined Madonna, Michael Jackson, and what other artist in this accolade? You remember this, Mark?
I do.
I feel like I should know this. So wait, 70s? 80s,
80s, 80s 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. So it starts in the 80s.
Oh, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s.
Yes.
Hmm.
What other solo artist? Kenny G, Madonna, Michael Jackson, and who?
Prince?
Well, you guys will have to... come up with an answer here.
Together.
I feel like that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Man.
That's the only thing that's like coming to mind for me.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else.
No, it's not Prince. It is... Mark?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That's awesome, though.
Isn't that great?
That is really awesome.
Yep. That's a great trivia question. Thanks, Tim, for sending that in. If you'd like to write us with a rundown of your local trivia experiences, a missed correction, a Rate My Question, or even just a little no-note, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or find us on social media and ask us there. All right. Shall we get into round two?
We shall. Am I going first or are you going first?
Please.
What happened last time? Me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In what city were the NBA's Grizzlies located in for 6 years before moving to Memphis?
Vancouver?
I could go with that. Has to be somewhere where there's grizzly bears.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not Miami.
Miami Grizzlies.
Not because they have the heat, but because they don't have grizzlies.
They got
bears.
No grizzlies.
They got no grizzlies.
I have no idea, so that sounds
good
to me.
That's what I'm thinking.
Vancouver, the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Andrew, you're a bit of a basketball man.
I think that's right, Vancouver Grizzlies.
That's correct.
Nice. Yeah, that's all you guys.
There was an air high five there.
That's all you guys.
That was
cheers.
Adorable.
Hey, cheers. Cheers.
I'm empty.
Hey, bros.
Yep. Air cheers.
Bro. Cheers.
All right. I'm going to ask you guys a the category here, and all the categories that I use are requested by our players. Colors that end in Urple is the category here. What ancient Mediterranean civilization got its ancient Greek name from the purple cloth exported from the region?
One more time.
What ancient Mediterranean civilization got its Greek name from the purple cloth exported from the region?
I know this somewhere deep in my brain.
What region?
Mediterranean civilization.
I see. Okay.
I just keep thinking how the Monopoly pieces have the purple, you know, for Baltic and Mediterranean.
Oh, yeah, no. This is very different from that.
Right.
But right. The Monopoly civilization.
I can't get that out of my head, though.
Mediterranean civilization. A civilization from the Mediterranean. So, like, we're looking at, like, Greek. What Greek civilization?
We got their name from the purple cloth exported from the region.
Purple cloth. I can't tell if these questions are harder if I'm just dumber at night.
I'm telling you, man, both. Recording at night is a curse.
Were you going to say Mesopotamia?
I can't think of anything. For some reason, that just pops into my brain, but not a culture.
Not a civilization.
Yeah.
It is the civilization, I'm going to give you a little hint here, is a civilization that our alphabet is based on, that we got our alphabet from.
The alpha.
The beta. Well, it's Greek. It's based on the Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta.
But who did they base their alphabet on?
Cyrus? I'm just thinking of like words that remind me of old Greek stuff. Andrew, I feel like you got it. Are you still thinking about fucking Monopoly?
No, no. Okay,
thank Christ.
Baltic.
No, don't. You're not helping.
No, I'm trying to think of like I feel like the alphabet thing's getting me warmer, but not there yet.
Andrew's getting heated up. All right, so alpha, beta,
gamma. I want to say like the Greek Phoenician.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that feels right.
I'll jump on board.
Yeah, we're going to say Phoenician. Fuck oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I told there you this
Monopoly pieces, bitch.
Now the fire's
Monopoly
out.
Monopoly pieces, bitch.
It's all out there now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Good job, Andrew.
Okay. What solo artist charted 126 Billboard Top 200 albums?
Weird Al Yankovic.
In their career. That's a lot of albums.
Do you say 200 number one albums?
Yes.
I said, what solo artist charted 126 Billboard Top 200 albums?
Top 200. That's still...
In their career.
126.
That they topped.
Solo artist.
Dr. Dre.
No. That guy can barely put out one album every 10 years. Of his own work.
Second Chronic took forever.
Yeah. He shelved it. He said it was bad. And I won't let it out, basically.
Shout.
Imagine.
Don't let it all out.
Keep it all in.
Shin, keep it all in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not the Second Chronic. There was a no. It was the Chronic. Chronic 2000 was the third album, I think. Didn't he make one in between that never came out?
That
was called the Chronic 2 or something.
He made another album. I can't remember what it was. I don't think it was the Chronic though, because I think he did release a Second Chronic.
Okay, he definitely did. That was the one that he kind of had a comeback in '99 and 2000 when he had Eminem on it, Snoop. You guys remember Motherfuckers Act Like They Forgot About Dre? That song was on there. Anyway, I don't think it's Dr. Dre.
Anyway.
In conclusion, not Dr. Dre.
Detox. I think we got to go older. I think we got to go with like
Detox. Frank
Sinatra. Detox. There it is. That's the Dre album that was never released. They much anticipated his Chinese Democracy, if you will. Frank Sinatra, Dolly Parton, Elvis Presley. Probably not Elvis. 126. That's the thing. They got to be going today. Tony Bennett.
Yeah. The Tony Bennett one crossed my mind, actually.
Ooh.
For some reason.
That's good. I mean, it's good that we both thought something similar. That could be a... What do you think about Tony Bennett? I mean, that guy...
That seems...
He's been around forever.
Plausible.
And you said top 200?
Yes. 126 top 200 albums.
Well, for us mortals, that seems like, you know, reaching for the stars. But for Tony Bennett...
He could do it.
Top 200? You record Tony Bennett going to the bathroom, that thing's hitting the top 200. He left his heart in San Francisco. That was him, right?
I don't know.
No, that wasn't him? Was that Sinatra?
I think so.
Oh, shit.
Well, you know, a lot of people do the songs multiple. Yeah. It could be either of them.
I'm sure he sang it once or twice. It could have been
on seven of each of their albums.
It's the same person. I'm going with that.
I feel good about Tony Bennett.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be somebody like Dolly Parton. You don't think so? Top 200. So she was a country artist, and I feel like country artists didn't get a lot of like
Willie Nelson.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. You said as a solo artist, the albums.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like Willie Nelson, all his songwriting.
Okay.
Getting through other people. Hmm. But yeah, he's been around for a while.
This is like the 40s, hasn't he, or something?
Something crazy.
Excuse me.
Your phone's got Borg Bormus.
Borgmus. So what do we think, guys?
Tony Bennett.
I still go Tony Bennett.
Andrew, are you on board with Tony?
Final answer.
Are you guys a Voltron of Tony Bennett?
Yes.
Well, then you're wrong. The correct answer is Elvis Presley.
Really?
Elvis Presley, wow. Yes.
Dang.
I just assumed his career, got cut short,
yeah.
That
he wouldn't be in the running for that.
That many albums.
That's
impressive. Man, I listened to a Elvis like deep cut that was like him and Johnny Cash and two other artists like recording in the studio, like jamming.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Not good, huh?
No.
Very bad.
It's a good thing that they didn't release it. It's interesting because they're all on it, but it's just bad. Anyway, I'll post a link in the show notes to that. Almost as bad as The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, it's not bad.
It's the same.
It's not great.
It's the same thing over and over again for 6.5 minutes. Like,
how do you feel about Bob Dylan?
Yeah, okay. His songs under 6.5 minutes are better than his ones that are 6.5 minutes. I'm not a huge, like, big Dylan fan. You know, I respect him. And I respect Gordon Lightfoot, too. But that song, listen for the first minute, you get the idea.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. What is my next category for you guys. What is it? I'm going to list a bunch of things. You tell me what it is.
Oh, wow, wasn't that trivia?
The Phaeton, Curricle, Landau, and Broom were all popular types of what in the 19th century?
Missiles.
The Phaeton, Curricle, Landau, and Broom were all popular types of what in the 19th century?
Curricle sounds like a cat.
Because it sounds like calico.
Broom cat.
Oh, watch out for my broom cat and my clerical cat.
What was it again?
The Phaeton. That's Phaeton. The Phaeton, Curricle, Landau, and Broom were all popular types of what in the 19th century?
It's like witches something.
Broom.
It's like
the broom.
Witches
broom,
items.
Broom is spelled B-R-O-U-G-H-A-M.
Oh, what?
Broham.
Broom. Dances? The phaeton. It's interesting you said the phaeton. The broom, the phaeton. Do you want to dance the phaeton with me?
I can see that.
Dances is kind of my guess.
Okay. That's just caracal. I don't know why. It's just in my brain. Just like
phaeton doesn't sound like a dance, though.
I'll spell that. Curricle is spelled C-U-R-R-I-C-L-E.
Curricle. Kind of like curriculum.
19th century?
19th century.
So we're talking the 1800s?
Can you go with dance?
I mean, I can't think of... Especially when he said the...
Let's go with dance.
We're going to go with dances.
Wrong. Those were all types of horse-drawn carriages.
Caracal. I know, I just had to whisper it in the microphone. Caracal.
The broom.
The broom. Also, the Victoria was another type. And then there were some that was like the cabicle and stuff like that, but... That's, I feel like if you put obvious cab in there, yeah, that it gives it away a little bit.
All right, here's your last question. I'm trying to figure out. Do you want a geography question? Do you want a medical question or a friends question?
Friends, cool, like the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to say geography.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we'll do the geography question.
Okay, you might get this pretty easy, I'm not sure. The Democratic Republic of the Congo was formerly known as what country?
I knew this at one point. Time to go to the Mind Palace. The Democratic Republic of the Congo, formerly known as what? I got to get Zimbabwe out of my head, because that is not right. It's not Zimbabwe.
Because that exists.
Yes.
That's still around.
Zaire?
That I sounds feel like
that's
better.
Just another country.
Yeah, it is. Is Zaire still around, though? I'm wondering if I'm thinking Zimbabwe because it's a Z name.
We're talking about Congo, though, right?
Mm-hmm. But it used to be known as what? You're not feeling Zaire.
I think Zaire is still a country.
Okay. Well, that's what I needed from you.
But I don't have a better answer.
Oh, that's not what I need from you.
I'm in the same boat there. I can't think of anything else.
Congo was.
For some reason, I want
to. One I'm going to kick my. Sorry.
I want to say, like, Kimberley something, like, because that's, like, the diamond mines are part of, like, the Kimberley. I don't know. But. I could be way off with that. And it doesn't sound like it would be an actual country name.
Yeah. Who was there? Was it the French that were there?
I mean, there was all kinds of people from Europe there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know specifically.
I'm just trying to think who did have a French name, maybe. It was like colonized by the French. And when they gained their independence... They ditched the French name. It's all so foggy right now.
Yeah. Froggy.
I mean, we can say Zaire.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think that is still a country. Luke, any ideas?
I couldn't even think of a French name for it.
Well, yeah, it's hard to invent a name based on the origin when you just don't know what the answer is.
Ukedebepo.
So it's Kimberley or Zaire. Those are two options right
Kimberley.
Now. Really?
If it's anything,
Zales. All right, I guess we'll go with Kimberly. I don't think that's what it is. Oh, I don't think so. Kimberly, we can't submit that. Let's at least submit Zaire.
It's not Kimberly.
Yeah.
Then
we'll go with Zaire.
Zaire.
It's, but what is it, Mark?
The correct answer is
wrong.
Zaire.
It is?
It is.
Oh my God! What the hell?
Wow.
Wow.
I jumped the gun 90s, on that.
In the 90s, yeah, you absolutely did. In the 90s, it was overthrown and renamed the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Still very war-torn.
Yeah.
And I was going to say Kimberly.
I can't believe I even...
When you guys were talking, I was like, holy shit, they're going to just say the name Kimberly. Even though they've got the fucking right name just sitting right on their fucking tongues.
You know I'm not above it. All right, I've got a... chocolate question for you guys to close up the round here.
Like a chocolate city?
No. You wish.
Not like that kind of. Okay.
One of you guys might know this, though. In 1926, which chocolate company set the standard worldwide in the rich tradition of Belgian chocolate making?
It's Godiva.
Is it?
Yeah.
Andrew, do you have any feelings one way or another?
I want to say Ghirardelli.
It's Godiva.
Is it? Are you confident?
I'm pretty confident.
He seems very confident.
Okay. Godiva.
We're going to go with Godiva, I guess. Hey! God love you. Did you even finish the question?
Luke knew immediately.
Yeah.
Luke, how did you know that?
We have a rap.
Yeah. This is an old inside joke.
Oh.
Yeah, on a, I think it was a Let's Go Exploring tour, maybe, or you guys were just visiting.
I remember this.
Mm-hmm. There was a whole fleet of Fort Myers folks in Tallahassee, and Luke and me and Darren.
We all went to the
and James
mall.
Claiborne, I think.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Was he there?
I know.
Or maybe it was just Darren.
Might have been just Darren. I don't know if James was. No, James would have been there.
Yeah. Because
James came with Darren on a Let's Go Exploring tour.
Yes.
It would have been there.
Yep.
When we went to Gainesville and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We were walking around the mall, and there was a Godiva shop, and I think Darren was beatboxing or something. And I felt inspired to rap the slogan that was on
the, I think you also had the hoodie that went all the way up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was wearing a hoodie that zipped all the way up the front. I forgot about that. So, yeah, I was like, I had it all zipped up. And I was rapping the Godiva 1926 Godiva chocolate set the standard worldwide
in the rich tradition of Belgian chocolate making.
I remember this. I think we were somewhere else and you came back singing that and we were like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just some old hangouts, you know.
Good stuff. Some old hangouts.
Yeah, just the old hangouts.
It's very good with the old hangouts.
All right.
Okay, I think that's it for round two.
Yep.
Now we're going to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back.
Got to Ray my question.
We got to Ray my question. Hit star Ray Romano.
Yeah.
And then
my daughter was asking me to do all sorts of Star Wars impressions today, and she was like, do Ray. And I was like, I'm right here. She's like, what is that? I'm like, I'm Ray.
Ray Romano.
Kylo, you're not evil, Kylo.
You're coming to the right side.
All right, more Ray when we get back. All right, we're back, and before we get to our final questions. This is RJD2. What do you got? Oh my gosh.
Set the standard worldwide.
That's me.
Rich tradition of Belgian chocolate making. It's Belgian chocolate making. It's Belgian chocolate making. Luke Martin, I'm sending you a video. You asked me about the Godiva rap, and now I'm rapping about Godiva chocolates. No, I'm not. Now I'm just being silly. Luke Martin. Luke Martin. Luke Martin. Luke Martin. Luke Martin.
David Holbrook.
As you can see, Lee has a storied past with repeating people's names.
Yeah, that was that predates Snapchat. So you just like you wanted to send a video to your friend, you would just post it on their Facebook. Your friends later, 10 years later, can pull it up, and
you actually film a whole video too, and then put it in an editor.
Yep.
In 1926, Godiva chocolate set the standard worldwide in the rich tradition of Belgian chocolate making.
I didn't even have to look that question up. It's true. I just knew it.
And there's there's James. Oh my wow! Ha ha! I forgot that rhyme. You win this round.
There he was.
So he was there.
I knew it. I vaguely remember too that we were we did like a Bohemian Rhapsody in a shoe store. You remember that?
No.
I remember. We sang Bohemian Rhapsody.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah, we like stood in like a diamond formation.
I did happen
like
to
see the album cover.
I did happen to see the other day the video of everyone at your house when you lived with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Every around Christmas it comes up where we had the giant sing along in the kitchen.
It was like,
oh my Christ.
10 plus.
Oh yeah. It was a long time ago. Me and Darren and you and everybody was very drunk and screaming lyrics to songs. Good stuff. Good times. It's good to see you again, Luke. All right.
Let's do a rate my question.
All right.
Rate
my question.
All right. Now.
What a half-assed rate I did.
That's fine.
Worse than my usual.
It's late.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the midnight hour.
The witching hour.
I have two rate my questions here.
Andrew's all but asleep.
Let's see here. Andrew, pick a number, one or two. We're going to do one of these.
Two.
Two. Okay. We're going to go with John Lane's rate my question. He says, got to rate my question for you guys. In 2006, the movie A History of Violence became the last major Hollywood film to do what?
I like this question.
Yeah.
History of Violence.
Mm-hmm.
Viggo Mortensen.
To do Viggo Mortensen. Well, it was a comic book movie.
Yeah, based on a graphic novel.
Graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
Read it again?
Yeah, read it again.
In 2006, the movie A History of Violence became the last major Hollywood film to do what?
I want to say come out on VHS.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No?
It's too new for that.
But that's just it, right? Right? That's why it would be the last one, because it went on for too long.
I can't say I've ever seen a VHS copy of A History of Violence. So if it was the last, they must not have made many of them. I was thinking the last movie to show a main character smoking a cigarette or buying cigarettes, maybe it's something related to that.
No, there's been other movies where people have smoked.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, it does say major Hollywood film. There's a distinction. Last major Hollywood film.
Main people in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood smoke, don't they?
I haven't seen it, so.
Neither have I.
I'll take your word. Oh.
But I know that cigarettes. I will take your word for it. I know that cigarettes play a big part in it.
Yeah, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense.
There's got to be movies where people are smoking in them. It has to be.
Hmm. Come out of VHS. I mean, it's looking more attractive by the minute now.
I mean,
as the night gets later and the bar empties out, coming VHS. Out on VHS.
The regular crowd shuffles in. I would say something like, not have a Blu-ray copy of it come out, maybe. I like that VHS one, though, because it's a weird answer. It's one that you wouldn't expect. And I like that about it. VHS is a weird thing. Like, I think only recently the last VHS like tapes were made,
like blank ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's my answer. I think that's a really good answer. Who said that? I think that's good.
Just thinking about the movie. I'm just trying to imagine the movie right now. So it's about a... He's an ex-mafia guy, right?
And he doesn't know it, right?
No, he does, but he just lies throughout the first part of the movie. Spoiler alert. Wow. Everybody thinks he is. You know, there's people basically... People try to assassinate him. Mm-hmm. He's like a small-town family man. And these gangsters show up and try to kill him. And he's defending himself. And as he defends himself, it's shown that he just has like this like crazy like physical expertise, you know? And he has a history of violence, you know, in his past that he reveals to his family. You know, he's not always been a good guy and stuff like that. So that's the basic plot. There's a controversial sex scene, Mark. I know you've talked about like uncomfortable sex mm-hmm. scenes. There's definitely one in the middle of that movie. There's like kind of a nice one at the beginning and then a terrifying one with the same exact characters later.
Nice and like it's nice or nice and that it like makes you horned up?
Same. Okay. I don't know. You know, it's a touching, hey man, cool. It's a touching love story, you know, or not love story, but like, I don't know.
I only know the premise. Scene. I've never actually seen the film, so.
It's a great movie. I want to say it's directed by, it's a very iconic director. It's not Soderbergh. It's not Cronenberg. It might be a Berg, but it's neither of them.
Spielberg.
It's not Steven Spielberg. All right, VHS. I mean, I really can't think of anything else that it might be.
I mean, do you have any other ideas?
No.
All right.
Even though I shot it down, I was like, I can't think of anything else.
I gotta look it up. There was no answer.
Fucking hell. What else could it be? The first one to show a man's testicles.
The last one.
I mean, that's what I meant. The last one to show a man's testicles. The last one to have someone have his hand put in a fryer. Didn't something happen like that because he works in like a cafe?
Oh, what? Andrew. Nice one.
Andrew coming in clutch on this. That is some good. So what did... let's go inside your mind for a second. What is that, deductive reasoning?
I don't know if you want to do that, Lee. I don't know if you want to go inside this man's mind.
I just heard the year and I thought they specifically said the year and the last one. And read the question again.
Yeah, in 2006, A History of Violence became the last Hollywood film to do what?
I think the do, like to do it, it was less about like the content of the movie and more about something outside of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was really a guess. So okay.
That's a good deduction.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that speaks to the quality of the question as well. I give this question a great rating, A+, great 100.
So would I.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to give A pluses out like fucking crazy.
We'll see. Keep them coming, folks. I mean, we're on a roll right now. These have been a great run. We did pick that one at random. So good job, John. Thanks for sending that in. If you've got to rate my question, you can do so. Send us an email at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Find us on social media. You can send them there as well. All right. Shall we get into our final questions?
Let's do it. The big daddies.
So my final question for you guys is a bit of a combo question, which involves singers, technology, and even a popular sitcom, all in one question. Here we go. What song, which was named after an eatery located under a NASA space lab, but is perhaps better known for being an exterior stand-in for a popular hangout on the sitcom Seinfeld, earned a singer the distinction of being named the mother of the MP3 by audio engineers, as her warm vocals on the track provided a control track for testing the effects of compression on the format's encoding algorithms? What song served as the basis for the compression of the MP3?
That's what I was thinking.
Do you know the name of that song?
Tom's Diner.
I think that's got to be it. I mean, I know the Seinfeld diner says diner on it.
Yeah.
But he mentioned, I think, a female's vocals. That's that song is done by... What's her face?
The mother of the MP3.
Yeah, mother. What the hell? Who is it that does that song? I was sitting on the corner. Anybody have anything better? Does anybody know who does that fucking song before I blow my brains out of my head?
I've heard the song a million times.
Suzanne Vega. Jesus Christ. Getting old, guys. Old brain ain't doing what he used to do. You want to say it's Tom's Diner?
Yep.
Okay.
We're going to go with Tom's Diner.
Hey. By Suzanne Vega.
Yes.
You're right, Mark.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I've never known that about the MP3, though. That's really interesting.
Yeah. That was the first what attracted me to this to writing this question was that fact. I was like, the mother. And then I saw Suzanne Vega, and I was like, what did she do again? Oh, Tom's Diner. It's actually Tom's Restaurant is the name of it. And in early seasons of Seinfeld, I think it does say Tom's Restaurant, and then they edited out Tom, so it just says restaurant in much of the show. But yeah, it's Monk's Diner on the show, and it is below a NASA space lab out of Columbia University in New York City.
All right, I have a last question for you, but I kind of want to just ask you this other question and see if you guys know it.
Sure.
Syncope is the medical term for what?
When you pee at the same time.
In a sink.
In a sink.
In a sink.
The same time, I think, was the sink, guys.
Yeah.
Like synchronized pee.
Syncope. And you said this is a medical term?
Mm-hmm. So you don't know this. I thought for sure you would know this.
Mm. Is this a noun or a verb?
It is a verb.
Pardon me.
I'm going with the peeing in the sink.
Pardon me thinks it's like something with a heart.
S-Y-N-C-O-P-E. Syncope.
It's like a heartbeat?
This is this essay you pronounce it. This isn't like an Anoka thing.
No.
Okay.
Man, I should have asked this.
Well, you're asking it now. I mean, this could be.
I know. I guess I'll make this my last question. Fuck it. And then you're going to turn around and be like, never, I knew it.
I really don't. Guys?
A medical term?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a medical verb.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Syncope.
It reminds you of like syncopated.
Yeah, but then that makes me think rhythmic.
Like rhythmic, which is why I'm thinking heartbeat.
Which I thought heart of some sort.
A regular heartbeat?
But
that would be a noun, though.
Yeah, that we're kind of think of an action of it.
Irregular heart beating.
I see what you did there.
I can't think of anything better.
And you're confirming heartbeat? It's a verb, Mark.
Yes.
Okay. With, like a heart beating irregularly, would that be? I don't want to abandon this idea. I like it. I like this answer.
I'm trying to think of how we could use this in a vague sentence.
Mm-hmm. Can you use it in a sentence?
That man has bad syncope.
It's a noun.
Oh.
Yeah.
That man is poorly syncopeing.
The person experienced syncope, I guess.
Okay, so that would be a noun. If you experience it, experience would be the verb.
I would say regular heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Sounds good to me. A regular heartbeat.
The correct answer is fainting.
What?
Syncope. Okay. So I see the verb now.
Makes sense now. It would. So you see why I said verb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
to faint.
So they experience fainting. They experience like a fainting spell.
Right.
But yeah.
Syncope. I wonder how, yeah, where that comes from. It sounds Latin. Casus syncopatus.
Yeah,
yeah. Give us your other one. Let's do one more.
You want the other one?
I want the other one.
You
want
to do the other one?
Yep.
Let's do the other one.
All right.
By what title is Arthur Wellesley commonly known as?
Title?
I don't even know who.
Arthur Willisby?
Wellesley.
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 So what title is he otherwise? Like, it could be like the Naked Cowboy in New York. Oh, again, his birthday recently.
It's a title and a name. It's a
title and a name.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to word question, I feel like, but it goes, I think title is the best way to word it. And we can discuss it after you answer and get it right or wrong.
So just for an example, and I hope this isn't right because I would put you in a tough spot, but would you say like Jerry the King Lawler is like what you're looking for, where it's like a name and a title like, put
like
together?
A nickname
no?
Title?
No. Like the Duchess of York.
Unofficial
okay.
title.
Gotcha. Okay, so there's no name, like first and last name, surname. Okay. And what was the birth name again?
Arthur Wellesley. Would you like a spelling?
Wells.
I'm good. Don't want to know. Does it matter? Maybe it does.
Probably not.
Arthur Wellesley. Wellesley. Is that Irish?
No, I don't think so.
I'm sorry, Mark. Can you read it one more time?
Wellesley. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing to be sorry about. It's my job as a quiz master.
Thank you.
By what title is Arthur Wellesley commonly known as?
Commonly known as. So there's no indication in this question that this has to be a real person. It could be a fictional character, like the Sheriff of Nottingham. I don't think that's who it is, but just as an example. I have no idea.
Nope. Stumped.
Some classic Mark Davis difficulty here.
Straight stumped.
Luke?
Would you like a clue? I don't know if it'll be much of a
would
clue.
Would love a clue. We need one.
He defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo.
No.
No.
Still can't think of
big
anything.
No. Big nope.
Who? What country defeated Napoleon?
Mm-mm.
Russia? It's not a Russian name. Britain?
British?
Yeah, that's
it. Sounds like a British name.
That's where I'm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of, but
there was definitely a coalition of Russia and Britain and I think Spain to fight Napoleon. They were sick of his shit.
I'm just gonna go fight him.
He was just rolling up on all of them all the time, basically. But all right, so let's say it's a British military commander or somebody.
Jolly good. They call women burbs.
This is just a weak spot in my mind here. I have no idea.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
The King of England?
Are you guys giving up?
Yeah, we're just going to take L on this one.
Take the L. Yep. The correct answer is the Duke of Wellington.
The Duke of Wellington. Arthur Wellesley, the Duke of Wellington.
Duke of Wellington, yes. He sent Napoleon packing after Napoleon got out of the Isle of Elba and tried to take shit over again. He went there and gave him what for and beat his ass. Mm. And that was that.
Right on.
The Duke.
Well, congratulations to him.
Yeah. Many years ago, 1800s. Good job.
In the 19th century.
Yeah.
Beef Wellington.
Back when a man could ride a good broom. Or a good...
Or a Landau.
Oh, those were the days.
Caracal.
Yeah, or a Kirkle.
Kirkle.
All right. Well,
hey, real quick, yeah. Before we do the end,
uh-huh.
Your Three Song Stories is out.
Yes.
And it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You're
it was
welcome.
So much fun.
Three of us have done one now. Luke recorded one today.
Right. So we got to get Andrew on it somehow, some way. Somewhere.
Indeed. Put and Mike has done one, so three quarters of Let's Go Exploring has done one.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see about Andrew doing one. But so if you are listening to this, you should look for Three Song Stories, WGCU, hosted by Mike Canary, who was a guest on our podcast when I did mine. And we are looking forward to having Richard Chinqui, I think, here on our podcast as a guest.
And Tara.
And Tara Callaghan,
mm-hmm.
who is an old dear friend.
We're going to try and get them on.
You should definitely go over and listen to Lee's episode. It's very, very good. It was done live at Palace Pub and Bar, Wine Bar.
We did some music trivia afterwards.
Indeed. I was there for both. Set a record. Not yeah. a record, but...
No, it was a high score. 10. No, that's the highest score at that venue.
Oh, there you... Okay.
Yeah, so there is...
Then I stand
135 points.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. Setting records.
Yeah, it was an all music trivia.
So yeah,
but yeah,
definitely
that's,
go and listen to that.
Episode 96 of Three Song Stories.
Yeah, and keep an ear out for Luke's and Joe and Jesse recorded their three song story today too. Yeah. And
we Seth need has to been see on,
having them on.
Mike has been on. So many, Skylar. Lots of crossover.
Kyle yeah. has mm-hmm. been on. Skylar's been on.
My wife, how could I forget my
yeah,
wife?
Yeah, you're my wife.
My wife.
My wife.
She was complaining to me earlier that there's no my husband equivalent to that. She feels like she doesn't have a my husband.
Yeah, she can
drop
that.
On me.
Yeah.
Right, she could say that anytime she wants. All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks, guys, for
parting
for
is
on.
Such sweet sorrow.
It's very sorrowful right now. I wish we could do another round, even, but it's after midnight now, and
after midnight,
yeah. we got to go let it all hang out somewhere.
Yeah,
we can't be here
morning,
doing trivia.
Keep it all in.
Yeah. All right. So, anything you guys want to plug in the meantime, while you've got a microphone in front of you, Luke, you have some delicious barbecue. That you serve on a regular basis in San Diego, right?
Yeah, still doing that. Although I'm gonna have my last one, I think, at the end of this month.
Last one?
Yeah, for a little while.
Just taking a little break?
Yeah, just taking a break, see where I'm at.
Do you have something else that you're gonna like take that energy? Because you're a very creative guy. Are you gonna take all of that and put it somewhere else and do like a new thing?
Venture?
Yeah.
Like business-wise?
Business or, you know, learning wise. I know you're student minded basically. You're like you've got a lifelong learning thing. I really respect that about you actually.
Well, I'm into making like meads and beers now. So
okay.
I'll be doing that kind of stuff.
Right on.
I'll send you some
Flannery fermentations
in the mail.
Oh,
when
thank
it's
you.
All done.
Oh, I would love that.
What
thank
about
you.
Me, Dory?
Mm.
You don't okay. get shit.
Jesus.
Andrew, how about you? What you got going on?
Banks
and stuff. No, punk rock karaoke.
Uh-huh.
I just want to promote that, I guess.
When's the next one of that? February 20?
Well, we don't have one booked right
you
now.
You don't?
We had one, kind of ish. But
yeah, we got to call and find out about it. But
might be next Friday, but might not be.
Okay,
at the Whale.
So maybe on Friday at the Whale. Maybe not. Nice Guys Pizza, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll probably be at Nice Guys if
somewhere.
I had to guess.
We'll announce it. But that's a great time, and I always enjoy going out and getting to sing 311 down.
311 down.
as mentioned in my three song stories, they asked what my karaoke song was. I was like, I guess it's 311's down now.
What a thing to be great at.
Yeah. All right, well... again, Luke, Andrew, thanks for coming on. And hopefully, we'll see you guys out of trivia at some point this week. There's a couple opportunities. We've got Monday, we'll be at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays, we're going to be starting up a gather. I promise soon I'll have a date for you guys when we're doing that. We're just working out the details. Might be doing a little earlier thing than 7 o'clock there. We'll see. And then on Thursday nights, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, also in Cape Coral. That starts at 7. Wednesdays, you can catch Mark Davis hosting Trivia Nice Guys Pizza.
Hello.
That starts at 9 p.m. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking on the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Speaking of which, thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies. It's Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim from San Diego. Pat's Garden Service. Thanks to our team captains, David Holbrook. We got Rachel, Aaron, Kristen, and Fletcher. Proverbial Lightkeepers, Mo, Matthew, Nicole, Pit Boss Luke, Spencer Luke. The Chef, Hank, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Chris, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Big thanks also to Arumple Snailskins, Manu, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael J.
Michael Christmas and Michael Jolly, but it's in January. Again? Well, no, I fucked something else up this time now.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's Michael January and Michael Chrysanthemum.
There it
because
is.
I'm sure they bloom at this point.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We also have a Facebook group you can join. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us, our Quiz Daddies, Team Captains, Proverbial Lightkeepers, Rumpel Snailskins, and more for discussions related to the No No. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. If you're going to join the Facebook group, don't be afraid to write a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be scared.
Just jump right in.
We're all friends there. It can't be all us and Katie, Willem, Zig, and Ian. I mean,
people have been very active on there.
It has been definitely getting more active.
And
I just feel like we see we get like 2-3 people signing up a week, mm-hmm. which is for us a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying.
It's cool to lurk, but we like knowing who's out there.
Yeah, please.
Show yourself.
No. Show yourself. Are you not entertained?
Yeah, I mean, Luke's been making all this Skyrim food. I just reinstalled Skyrim.
Me too.
You know, and it's got me thinking about you. And every time I pass by Hunting Brew, I'm like, I want to try Luke's.
Skyrim is when you get your ass licked in the air.
Have a great week, folks. Bye.